You probably assume that when most people want to find a new local coffee shop or like a good pair of boots or even a place to stay for the weekend, they just open Google, right?
Right. I mean, that is the standard assumption for most of us.
Exactly. Well, what if I told you that half of all adults in the United States are now skipping the traditional search engine completely? Like, they aren't typing into a search bar at all.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they are literally just opening Instagram.
That is wild.
It is. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the 2026 social media landscape, and we have a highly specific and totally fascinating set of sources today.
We really do. We are decoding an internal learning module created by Hearst and the Social Studio. And what's cool is this wasn't written for, tech executives sitting in a boardroom.
Right, definitely not.
It was designed specifically for retail tenants at the Crossroads Carmel. That's a bustling shopping village out in Carmel-by-the-Sea, California.
Yeah, and that makes it an incredibly revealing document, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Because when you look at materials built for local, on-the-ground retailers, you just completely bypass all that Silicon Valley theory. You get straight to the actual mechanics of survival.
The real-world application.
Exactly. This is a literal playbook for how commerce actually functions right now.
And the mission of our deep dive today is to just crack that playbook wide open. We want to understand how modern consumers, meaning you, the person listening to this right now, how you actually discover, trust, and ultimately buy things today.
Because you probably spend a huge chunk of your day looking at a screen.
Oh, for sure. We all do.
Right. But it is super rare to peek behind the curtain and see exactly how the smartest brands are strategizing to earn just a few seconds of your attention.
Yeah, and whether you are a local shop owner trying to keep your doors open or, just a curious consumer wanting to understand your own digital habits, this is your blueprint. Okay, let's unpack this. To really understand these strategies, we first have to understand the raw stakes of the 2026 attention economy.
Yeah, and the module gives us three core baseline numbers to kind of set the stage here, and they paint a picture of just total saturation.
Total saturation is a good way to put it. What's the first number?
So first, we have 217 million U.S. adults on social media.
Which is massive.
It is. That translates to roughly 80% of the entire adult population.
So we really aren't talking about early adopters anymore or like a specific niche demographic.
No, not at all.
We are talking about practically everyone with a wallet.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Everyone. And the second number is about engagement depth. So the average daily time spent on these platforms is 2 hours and 39 minutes.
Wait, 2 hours and 39 minutes?
Every single day.
That is insane.
It is a massive chunk of the day. And the third number is the one that really dictates the retail strategy we are going to dive into today. 74% of consumers explicitly state that social media informs their purchase decisions.
Wow. 159 minutes a day, and it's directly driving what they buy. I mean, that metric alone forces a complete reorientation of how businesses have to think about reaching people because, well, for decades, the default instinct for a business was to rely on like interruption
Oh,
marketing.
definitely the classic billboard approach.
Exactly. You buy a billboard on the highway to interrupt someone's drive, or you pay for a print ad to interrupt someone flipping through a magazine, or you run a loud television commercial to interrupt the show they are actually trying to watch.
Right, you are forcing yourself into their line of sight.
Right. But those strategies just don't map onto a world where people are actively, willingly dedicating nearly 3 hours of focused attention to their phone feeds.
No, they don't map at all.
But wait, are people actually in a buying mindset during those 2.5 hours, though? I mean, it seems just as likely that they are, slumped on the couch after an 8-hour shift, mindlessly scrolling to numb their brains with funny dog videos.
Yeah, and that is the exact friction point the module addresses. And it does so with a very specific mantra, which is stop interrupting, start inspiring.
Stop interrupting, start inspiring. I like that.
It's crucial because you cannot simply purchase a slice of those 2 hours and 39 minutes anymore. Consumers have developed total blindness to pop-up ads and traditional sponsored interruptions.
Oh, totally. I scroll right past them.
We all do. So, to capture any of that time, a brand must physically become the content a consumer would willingly scroll for on their own.
Okay, so instead of standing on the street corner frantically handing out flyers that people, actively dodge,
Exactly.
you have to be the softly lit, beautiful window display that actually makes them stop in their tracks and look.
That's a great analogy. And to build that window display, we have to look at the platforms where this time is actually being spent.
Right. And the breakdown in the Pew Research data provided in the module is super eye-opening. Like, YouTube leads the pack at 84% penetration.
Which makes sense. YouTube is a giant.
Yeah. And then Facebook sits at 71%, and the data notes it remains the absolute dominant force for consumers over the age of 35.
But Instagram is where we see a massive structural shift in this report.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2021, Instagram captured about 40% of adults. But in this 2026 data, it has crossed the halfway mark, hitting 50%.
Half of all adults.
Exactly. It has completely shed its old reputation as a platform just for, like, youth or highly curated aesthetics.
Yeah.
It is now the only scrollable feed platform used by half of all adults in the United States.
And then you add to that TikTok at 37%, which is obviously seeing aggressive growth in the under 30 crowd. WhatsApp is at 32%, and even Reddit is climbing up to 26%.
The audience is just locked in across the board.
They really are.
Yeah.
And because they are spending almost 3 hours a day inside these walled gardens, their fundamental behavior has mutated. Like, they have stopped leaving the apps to look things up. The attention shift actually triggered a utility shift.
That's it, exactly. Search is now social.
Yeah.
For the last 20 years, the standard consumer behavior was basically, I have a question or I need a product, so let me open a new tab and Google it.
Right, that was the default reflex.
But that reflex is migrating heavily. Over 60% of product discovery now takes place entirely on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
Over 60%.
Yes. Gen Z and millennial cohorts, specifically, they just do not use traditional search engines for lifestyle queries anymore. They tuck their searches directly into the video feeds.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. In mid-2025, there was a massive change to the open web that kind of cemented this new reality.
The indexing agreement.
Yes. Instagram and Google formalized an indexing arrangement. Public posts from professional accounts, meaning business, and creator profiles for users 18 and older are now indexed by Google by default.
This is huge.
It is, and I want to make sure we truly understand the mechanics of this because, you know, indexing arrangement sounds like a boring legal treaty, but it completely changes the internet.
It changes everything about how a business writes online. Indexing simply means that Google's automated bots are now authorized to crawl inside Instagram, read the actual text in your post, and store it in Google's main search database.
Which they couldn't do before.
Right. Historically, Google couldn't see what was inside an Instagram post. It was a completely closed loop. But now, the wall has come down.
Wow.
So the words you type into an Instagram caption are literal SEO copy now. Search engine optimization is no longer this dark art reserved for web developers tweaking HTML code on a blog.
So a well-written caption is essentially like a triple threat employee working three jobs at the exact same time.
Exactly.
Like if a shop owner in Carmel writes a caption that says, "Fresh spring bouquets at our shop make the perfect Mother's Day gift in Carmel by the sea."
Right.
That sentence is working inside Instagram's native search, obviously. But because of the indexing, it is simultaneously working out on Google when a tourist searches for Mother's Day flowers, Carmel.
Yes.
And because platforms like TikTok now surface text-rich captions in their own search bars too, the habit of descriptive writing applies across the board.
It's everywhere.
But wait, taking this to its logical conclusion, if social media feeds and detailed captions are the new search engine, does this mean traditional websites are becoming entirely obsolete for local businesses?
Well, what's fascinating here is that websites aren't obsolete, but their function in the consumer journey has fundamentally narrowed.
Okay, narrowed how?
A website is now just the final destination. It is the checkout counter, the menu, the hours of operation, but it is no longer the discovery engine.
I see.
Yeah, people are not aimlessly browsing the web and stumbling upon a local store's URL anymore. They find the store through its social presence, and they only click the website link when they are absolutely ready to transact.
The practical implication there is pretty brutal for a small business, though.
Very brutal.
Because the discovery engine relies entirely on fresh, indexed social content, a neutral position simply does not exist anymore. Like, if a store gets busy, the owner gets overwhelmed, and they just don't post anything for 6 months.
Which happens all the time.
Right. But they aren't just taking a quiet break. They are effectively invisible to anyone searching during that half year. You are either actively being found, or you are completely hidden.
It is a treadmill. There is no getting off it. But the natural follow-up question is, if a business commits to staying on that treadmill, what kind of content actually ranks and earns trust.
Right.
Because we are looking at 2026 data, and the digital ecosystem is utterly flooded with artificial intelligence right now.
It really is.
And the Hearst module points out a fascinating macro trend here. The content that works best right now is actually a visceral, direct reaction against AI.
Yeah. The overarching theme they highlight is authenticity is king. Consumers have developed a severe allergic reaction to overproduced AI-generated content.
They hate it.
They do. And the survey data from Sprout Social included in the module proves this. Like, 56% of users report seeing AI slop often or very often.
And 83% encounter it at least sometimes.
Yeah. And just to define that term for a second, AI slop is the industry shorthand for low-effort synthetic junk. Images with weird lighting, strangely smooth skin, corporate jargon that sounds like a robot wrote it.
Consumers are actively pushing back against it, too.
Mm-hmm.
52% are expressly concerned about brands posting AI content without clear disclosure.
Which is totally understandable.
And furthermore, a massive 88% report having less trust in news and information on social media precisely because of the proliferation of AI video and image tools.
Honestly, it's the exact same psychological trigger as answering an unknown number on your phone. You pick it up, you say hello, and there is that telltale half-second delay before an automated telemarketer voice starts aggressively pitching you a car warranty.
Oh, I know that delay all too well.
Right. You immediately want to hang up. You feel tricked and, quite frankly, annoyed. When a consumer encounters a highly polished, obviously AI-generated brand post in their feed, they get that identical feeling. They just want to hang up on the brand.
Right. Which is why this raises an important question. Why does purposefully lowering the production value of a video or a photo actually increase a brand's credibility right now?
It's so counterintuitive.
It is. But mechanically, that is the prevailing strategy. In an era categorized by profound AI mistrust, the businesses winning in 2026 are the ones actively choosing to look more human and intentionally less produced.
It acts as a kind of visual cryptographic signature, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Like when a shop owner posts video and the camera's a little shaky, or the lighting is just harsh natural sunlight cutting through a front window, or, and this is a big one, they trip over a word and say, in the middle of a sentence.
Right.
Those are no longer considered mistakes. They are proof of life. They signal to the brain, I am a real flesh and blood human being standing inside a physical space.
Exactly. The rough edges are the feature now, not a bug. So how does a local business mechanically deliver this required proof of life day in and day out? The learning module points to a two-pronged approach.
Okay, what are the prongs?
Becoming video first for discovery and community first for deep engagement.
Let's break down the video first mandate, because short form vertical video absolutely owns the default algorithms today.
It really does.
The engagement benchmarks in the source material are impossible to ignore. On Instagram, Reels are pulling in roughly a 2.8% average engagement rate. Contrast that with a traditional single static photo, which languishes at around 0.45%.
That's a huge difference.
And over on TikTok, short form video routinely hits between 3.7 and 4.9%.
Video outperforms static imagery by a factor of 6. It's wild.
Right.
But again, the directive in this module isn't telling a local jeweler or cafe owner to hire a production crew and chase a viral comedy skit.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No. It leans heavily into the authenticity trend. The assignment is highly mechanical. Just shoot in a vertical format, hold your own phone, find decent natural light, speak in your normal voice, and do it at least once a week.
Okay, and then with the community first aspect. While the public video feeds are engineered for discovering strangers, the deepest, most lucrative engagement has migrated out of the public square entirely.
Yeah, this is a big shift.
It has moved into private or semi-private digital spaces. We are looking at the rise of Instagram broadcast channels, WhatsApp community chats, and exclusive Discord servers. The module notes that successful brands are no longer just maintaining a feed, they are maintaining a channel.
Let's look at how an Instagram broadcast channel functions mechanically, just as an example.
Sure.
It requires just a few taps to set up. It is entirely free. And it allows a business to push a direct message straight to the lock screens of their most dedicated followers.
Straight to the lock screen. That's powerful.
It is. A boutique owner can snap a single, unedited photo of a new shipment of sweaters still sitting in cardboard boxes, add a quick text that says, just unboxing these now. Come grab your size before I put them on the floor, and just hit send.
Wow. It is the ultimate difference between shouting through a megaphone in a crowded, noisy town square hoping a stranger looks at you versus inviting your best, most loyal, repeat customers into a quiet VIP backroom where you can speak to them normally.
That's exactly what it is.
But wait, considering everything we've just discussed, doesn't this strategy risk destroying the sanity of a small business owner?
How do you mean?
Well, you are asking someone who is already managing inventory, making payroll, sweeping floors, and dealing with physical foot traffic to also shoot weekly vertical videos, meticulously optimize the SEO of their captions, and act as a daily moderator for private chat channels. Aren't we just pouring gasoline on their burnout?
It definitely sounds overwhelming on paper, I'll give you that. But the mechanics actually relieve pressure compared to the old model of digital marketing.
Really? How so?
Well, historically, small businesses felt this immense burden to perfectly curate their ad campaigns. They would spend weeks agonizing over a single photo shoot, paying a professional photographer, editing the images to absolute perfection, and stressing over the grid aesthetic.
Oh, true. The perfect Instagram grid era.
Exactly. By shifting reliance to low-production phone videos and quick, unpolished broadcast updates, the friction to create is almost completely eliminated.
Ah, I see. So the authenticity mandate actually gives them permission to be fast and messy.
Yes. They are rewarded by the algorithm for fast, transparent communication. Pulling your phone out, pointing it at a cool new item, saying, "Look at this," and hitting post takes 30 seconds. The crushing burden of perfectionism is totally lifted.
Okay, so we have authentic, rough-around-the-edges video driving new discovery and private broadcast channels nurturing a VIP community.
Right.
But how does this actually translate into someone handing over their credit card? Because ultimately, likes and views do not keep the lights on.
No, they don't.
And the module argues that the traditional marketing funnel, you know, that old concept where you pour broad awareness into the top, it slowly filters down into consideration and a transaction drops at the bottom, is dead. It has been replaced by a loop.
Yeah, the framework they use here is the 5-stage sprout social loop.
Walk me through it.
So the stages are exploration, inspiration, purchase, community, and loyalty.
Okay.
The crucial difference between a funnel and a loop is the position of the purchase stage. In a traditional funnel, the purchase is the ultimate end goal. Once the customer buys, the funnel is empty, and the brand has to go find a new stranger to pour into the top.
But in the loop model, purchase is just stage 3 out of 5. It is sitting right in the middle of the process.
Because stages 4 and 5, community and loyalty, are what actually fuel the engine. A loyal customer is the single most powerful driver of exploration for the next stranger.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
This introduces a concept we refer to as user-generated content 2.0, or UGC 2.0.
Yeah.
In the past, UGC just meant a brand reposting a pretty photo a customer took.
Right.
But UGC 2.0 is much more active. When a happy customer films a quick reel about your store and sends it to their friend in a direct message, or posts a mini review to their own localized following, that content travels through their native algorithmic reach. The customer is effectively doing the marketing heavy lifting for you.
So, what does this all mean? If the old marketing funnel was a one-way street ending in a dead end, the new loyalty loop is like a revolving door. A happy customer walks through, has a great experience, and on their next rotation, they pull a new friend back in with them.
Precisely.
And the Hearst module provides an incredible real-world microcosm of how this mechanical loop operates by looking directly at the tenant base in Carmel by the Sea.
Yeah, the Crossroads Carmel is a perfect laboratory for this because the businesses there have to serve a fiercely bimodal audience.
Two completely different groups.
Exactly. They are essentially marketing to two completely different realities at the same time. On one hand, you have the locals. These are the year-round residents of the Monterey Peninsula, Pebble Beach, and Carmel Valley.
Right.
Their buying frequency is moderate, but their lifetime value is exceptionally high. They rely heavily on Instagram and Facebook for their day-to-day local updates.
And on the other hand, you have the visitors. Carmel sees roughly 1.5 to 2 million visitors annually. These are seasonal tourists, weekend trippers driving down Highway 1.
Yeah.
They might only make a single purchase per year, but their average ticket size is massive. And critically, their discovery mechanism is completely different. They are planning their trips weeks or months in advance, utilizing TikTok, Instagram search, and Pinterest as like interactive travel brochures.
Yeah, and the playbook at the Crossroads has evolved to capture both of these audiences simultaneously using 4 highly specific tactics.
Let's hear them.
Number 1 is prioritizing real people and real storefronts. Mechanically, the algorithm's image recognition software favors human faces. A video showing the actual shop owner talking to the camera will organically outperform a highly stylized, static shot of a coffee mug every single time.
Interesting.
And number two is event and seasonal tie-ins.
Like piggybacking on local micro events like the Carmel Art Festival or the annual Poodle Day.
That's it.
And the reason this works isn't just local pride, right? It is algorithmic. Platforms prioritize hyper-local, time-bound engagement. When a cluster of users in a specific zip code all start engaging with content about the same event, the algorithm aggressively pushes that content to anyone else nearby.
Exactly. Tactic number three is the strategic use of Carmel geographic tags, paired with partnering with the main at the Crossroads Carmel handle for distribution.
Ah, cross-pollination.
Yes. When a shop tags the main shopping center or collaborates with them on a post, they are cross-pollinating audiences.
Mm.
They're instantly drafting off the larger, established follower base of the property itself.
And the geographic tag does something practically magical over a long timeline, honestly. Like, a geotag placed on a Carmel shop's Instagram post 6 months ago is actively helping a tourist sitting in Atlanta plan her weekend trip today. The search algorithm connects the location data from the past to the explicit search intent of the present.
It acts as passive discovery working around the clock.
It's brilliant.
It really is. Finally, the fourth winning strategy they highlight is maintaining a strict 24-hour reply culture. Tenants who reply to comments and direct messages within a single day see measurably better reach.
And again, this isn't just about good customer service, is it?
Nope. When an account responds quickly, it trains the platform's algorithm that the account is highly active and responsive. The algorithm actually rewards that behavior by pushing that account's next piece of content higher in their followers' feeds.
Wow, the mechanics are all totally interwoven. It's fascinating. Let's just recap the journey we've been on today. We started by looking at the raw, undeniable gravity of the modern attention economy, 2 hours and 39 minutes a day.
A huge number.
We explored the massive 2025 structural shift that allowed Google to index Instagram, effectively killing traditional search for younger demographics and turning social feeds into the new discovery engines. We examined the visceral consumer backlash against AI slop and how authentic, unpolished proof of life is the only currency that buys real trust right now. And finally, we saw how the continuous loyalty loop, powered by low-barrier video and strategic local algorithms, is actively keeping physical retail alive in places like Carmel.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, it highlights this amazing reality and forces us to re-examine our own behavior.
How so?
Well, think about the last thing you bought from a local independent shop. Did you go out and organically find them, or did their loop find you?
Oh, wow. Good question.
Consider how your own seemingly private digital habits, like saving a picture of a nice cafe to a folder, or sending a quick reel about a boutique to a travel partner in a direct message, are actually the exact invisible engines powering local commerce in 2026. What does it mean for the survival of our physical local communities, our main streets, our neighborhood shops, when the most important real estate they own is no longer their physical window display, but their digital footprint?
That is a lot to think about. Keep that in mind next time you stop scrolling, look up from your phone, and actually walk through the door.